You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. Today, I had a great guest in. I've already done the interview because I'm on my own now and I want to do the intro and the outro. But she's an Irish musician. She was such good crack. I really had a great time with her. You should listen to the interview right now. And thank you very much to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. This week's guest, we have May Kay. She is a musician based in Dublin. I loved her band Fight Like Apes. I saw her gig and she's amazing. And she's in La Galaxy, who are great as well. They're going to be doing lots of festivals this year. She gave me a lift from Selbridge and I got her number and then I got her on the podcast and I'm delighted. You should have a listen to it. We had a great laugh and I'll chat to you properly later on. I find it very hard being in Ireland and making enough money to live and keeping my dignity. Do you find that yourself?
You said it, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for that is I know so many people in covers bands, some great covers bands.
Yeah.
And then I know some people, and people really happy in it because they made the choice that the original music isn't paying the bills, but I still want to be singing and performing and the covers gig is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And then I know some people who are like, it's destroying their soul. They'd be better off doing an office thing plus their original music.
Do you think so? Yeah.
Sometimes I do, yeah. But I suppose, I've done some jingles, Alison.
I've done some jingles.
In my time.
So you've done jingles, you've sang jingles.
Yeah.
Were you asked to write the jingles or were the jingles pre-written? I would love to be involved in jingles. I'd see that as...
Writing them would be gas.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually that's interesting. Maybe I'd like to write the jingles, but when you're given them...
Oh, no.
Oh, I wish... The only problem with this line of conversation is I can't give you any examples.
Yeah, that's cool. Like if you're... So let's say we have a bottle of Evian right here. We're going to make dreams come true. Let's write a jingle for Evian. Now,
hand me that xylophone, please.
Have we got anything that is like even... What is there? That's not an instrument.
Just for the listeners, that was actually a tap on the radiator.
That was a tap on the radiator. There's nothing musical in here. I might go out and see if... No. Wait there, 2 seconds. Listeners, I'm just going to go and try and find an instrument.
It's fine. Don't panic.
We're still looking. 2 seconds.
They're just still out looking for some instruments here. So, how are you guys anyway? Suppose this conversation rules me out doing my own podcast at some stage. Can't really get it going. So, Alison's just come back into the room with an exercise ball. Oh my God! That's so bad! Not so bad. I'm just closing the door so there's no spill from banging on the exercise ball.
We need total oral purity.
Okay. It's all about rhyming, of course, the jingles. So okay. I'll try to get a rhyme for... It's the bottle of Evian water, is it?
Yeah. So we find a rhyme for Evian.
Yeah, like, you know Kevion, don't you, my mate?
Yeah, I do, very well.
Gas, lad.
Gas, lad.
So that makes that easier.
It's way easier. Kevion. Okay. So Kevion would be a person that people would aspire to be.
Yeah.
Because he's never thirsty. He's always...
Oh, he's hydrated. Say what you will about him. He's hydrated.
That man's hydrated.
And you'd know by the head in him as well when you saw him.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, that's a wet head. That is a wet head. Okay. So.
Do you want to start the song?
Oh, do you want me to start?
Oh, I'll do you mind? Yeah,
yeah, okay. So... If you want to be like Evian,
get yourself some Evian.
Evian hydrates humans. There we go.
It was simple. It was to the point. We referenced a real man.
We did. A real man called Evian. I think.
So there's an extra bit of credibility, I think, to that because everyone will know him.
He personally endorses it. You know, he's an influencer. He's an influencer.
We'll get him in here now in a minute to endorse it if he's around.
It'd be incredible. So, yeah, it is very hard to write a jingle. What's your favourite jingle, actually?
I saw an amazing thing the other day and now I love this one forever. This tweet from this girl saying, like, I'm in a house, there's a serial killer in the house and all I have to do is stay quiet and he'll never find me. Yeah. And he says, auto glass repair. And she goes, auto glass replace. So that's now my new favourite jingle of all time.
That would be a really bad catchphrase for a killer. Yeah. Auto glass replace.
Like, I know that one.
I like WiMAX. Remember the WiMAX one? You got teenage kids at home. They want to use the internet and the phone. Da, 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 da. I should look up the lyrics.
Very catchy though.
Yeah, it is. It goes, WiMAX coming across the nation.
Oh, WiMAX.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God.
It's a very long jingle. It's got verses, which is rare.
Which is rare. Mm. Concentration span these days.
I know. Faster, better, cheaper. No light rental fees.
Oh, a bit of, was there a reggae vibe off it?
There, yeah, as much as he could give. He was white, do you know what I mean? As much as is acceptable. I mean, 10 years ago, it was like more acceptable. Now it's getting less and less.
People are actually listening now and going, well, hang on.
Hang on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I suppose the thing with that stuff is, that can actually be such a laugh. Well, as we've just demonstrated, it can be such a laugh being part of that world and writing stuff like that because it's all tongue in cheek. You're encouraged to be as simplistic as possible. I just think maybe when you're coming into it because you're trying to fund your own thing, those things are always just a bit damper.
It's always like a bit of give and take, isn't it? It's a bit like what are you sacrificing for how much? Or, you know, it's tough.
I think that's what I mean by sometimes, like, I've been in situations loads of times where I've been coming straight from a gig to working in a restaurant or to working in a bar.
Yeah.
And on paper, I'd be thinking, ugh, all I want to do is the music stuff. But actually, it was better for me to be doing something that wasn't music at the end of the day. So it made me really appreciate being on stage and being in the studio and stuff like that.
Did it
and
ever
your head's totally out of it.
Did it ever help you write songs? I totally interrupted you there.
But. And I just said your head's totally out of it. I didn't mean like out of it. I meant like out of that sphere.
Of course, after a festival.
No. Did it ever affect writing?
Yeah. Like, was there ever anything that happened in work that you just popped into a song or?
Oh, you mean affected in a good way? Oh.
Or a bad way. Fake it.
Well, actually, trying to write stuff now, there's so many things I could draw on. But I think more so, it'd be more ranty blog material as opposed to little engaging ditties. But it can be quite disheartening, I think. And that's like as well what you're saying about you're to stay dignified.
Yeah.
It's so hard sometimes to go in and try and create something yourself that you're quite good at and that, like, you know you have something to give when you're feeling a little bit undignified about a job you just did.
I know.
That's tough.
I know. I did a job once and it gave me bad bad juju for about a full 2 months. I just woke up sometimes like, what did I say?
Oh.
And then, what did I, why?
Why?
What will this person think of me?
Yeah. It's fascinating to really think about the people that pop into your head who you're worried about.
Yeah.
And examine why that is.
Gee, there is one comedian that always pops up into my head and I always worry what he'll think of me when I do stuff. And he's great. He's such a lovely, great comedian.
Okay, so you're worried about him out of respect to him.
Definitely out of respect. And I don't think he would give a shit as much as I think.
Oh, but I'd say always. Give as much of a shit. Yeah.
I don't think like he goes, "What's Alison? How is Alison making money today?"
I shouldn't be laughing.
Better be dignified.
Yeah, do you know what? I hope she's dignified today. I hope she keeps a hold of herself, dignity-wise.
Yeah. I hope, right, that he thinks as much of my dignity as much as I think of what he thinks of my dignity. Yeah. I hope he's putting as much effort into my imaginary.
Do you know, that's what family are great for. Like, yeah. Whether it's relationships or whether it's work, that you sit down and it's been bothering you for days and you say to them, like, Jesus, I wonder now, because I'm thinking this and I'd say he's thinking that. And then if I say that, he'll think that. And they're like, I'd say he isn't actually thinking about you at all, in fairness. You're like, do you know what? I needed to hear that.
I know, you do. I always feel like I'm the protagonist in every story.
I think you kind of have to.
I know.
Maybe,
yeah.
I do too.
Like, if someone is having an affair, I'm like, oh, but what will the person that's being cheated on think of me that I knew this and I didn't say anything?
In many ways, I'm a victim here too.
Exactly. The information. I'm tick with him now for involving me in this in the first place. Yeah. That's very true.
I can relate to that.
Can you go?
I have enough going on without having to carry the burden of this.
That's so true. That is definitely. And the older I get, the less shit I'm ready to be burdened with.
Oh my God, me too.
You know, when I was younger, I was like, yeah, oh, tell me all.
Oh yeah, and you're like, I don't want to be a... So I'd say about 3 months ago, for the first time ever in my life, someone said to me, will you meet me? We were all out and they said, will you come out with me wherever for a smoke? I've just so much I need to get off my chest. And I said no.
Good.
It's the first time
you.
In my life I ever did it where I just said no. I've just a lot going on and I just don't. And it wasn't because I made this big decision. I just hadn't the capacity for whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was just like, there's somebody better for you in this situation than me. Now, of course, it gave me anxiety for about 3.5 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
But still, I feel tough as nails now.
Did you like text the person? I'm wondering, like, did you ever go?
I apologize the next day.
Yeah.
And explain maybe a little bit more why I just felt really unable to be of any use to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's a few scoops on board, of course, from the night in the question. But no, totally, the older I get as well, the more I'm like, I actually, not only do I not think I can handle it, but I don't know, do I have to?
Yeah, and I don't know if I can help. So what would be the point? Yeah, yeah, that's very... I don't know, like, because you're in bands and, like, I'm not going down the road of, like, you're a woman in an industry where there's lots of men, but I'm a comedian and I feel like work acquaintances will tell me more stuff because I'm a woman and I can take on the emotional labour of shit.
Your maternal instinct,
of
course.
I know. I wish I was more of an asshole, like, on the stairs.
You might need to do a show called that.
I swear, yeah.
Someone told me recently that same thing where, and it was a man, where I said, we just went to an event and we came out of it and he was like, God, that was grand, wasn't it? And I was like, I am exhausted.
Yeah.
One lad told me something about his mother, and another lad was telling me about his wife or something. And I said, what were we at? Like, and he was like, I don't get that. He's like, you get it. And he made this joke about, like, some lads think because of this maternal vibe you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
But you'll be delighted. Not only are you able for it, but you'd be delighted to sit there and listen.
That's true.
A lot of the time I am now, but there are some times I'm like, what did I say to start this conversation?
And I feel sorry for some lads that don't get that at all. Do you know? That they're not approached in any way to help or anything like that. And it's like, yeah. I feel sorry for men.
Do you? Yeah, has anybody thought of the men?
And me, just now.
Constantly.
So what is your band situation at the moment? Which band are you in, or what's the
Well, I'm a very happy member of La Galaxy, mm-hmm. which is wonderful, especially off the back of the referendum. I'm particularly delighted, because I don't know what that must have been like. Well, for anybody working any job, kind of surrounded by people who weren't interested, that must have been really tough. Whereas I'm in a band with four lads who were all in, particularly Michael. And yeah, we released an album in April, which was amazing. And there was such a big delay releasing the album because of like complications with the label in the States and stuff. That we kind of, not that we forgot we were releasing it, but we kind of forgot to get excited. So the release day was actually triple exciting.
Oh, like, cool.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. It's out. It's deadly. And we love it. And the gigs have been going great. Festival season is always like magical.
It's going to be busy, I'd say. Yeah.
And you're not doing the same. Like the venues we do in Ireland are amazing, but it is cool to see some new place, some new fields.
Yeah.
Love a good new field. And then we've a load of shows to announce for the end of the year. So yeah, it's cool. Very cool. Warm, mind you, the festival circuit.
Yeah, like warm. Very warm. Temperature wise.
Temperature wise, yeah.
I thought you meant people. I was like, who is she referring to?
No, I just thought about my only real problem with festival season
is the heat. So what would you recommend? Right. How many, you've been going to loads of festivals. What would be your, I bet you ask this all the time. What would be your hot festival tip now? Like a hand fan? Would
that be? Just a load of fans you can fit in the palm of your hand, bring them everywhere.
Yeah.
Hot festival tip. You see, the big problem is when you're playing festivals, you don't often go to them.
Yeah. You're just kind of
although, I was at Forbidden Fruit last weekend. It was amazing. Hot festival tip. I suppose mixing cider and beer
into a shandy.
Into a shandy is a very hot tip.
Would you what would be your favourite cider and beer to mix? What would be the ultimate make a festival cooling favourite drink? Copperberg. They sponsored
the podcast. Do they?
Yeah. We should have done a jingle for Copperberg. I feel terrible.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing I love more than although I wouldn't mix Copperberg with anything.
No, you'd have to have it on its own. Oh, for its crisp and fresh.
Ice cold. Nothing like it. Jesus.
On a hot day. Yeah. On a hot day.
Or a cold day.
You know,
I mean,
what?
For me, it's an all year round cider.
You're amazing at this.
Shit, am I? I like to think I'm not, but I am.
It's like, I don't understand why ciders haven't gone into like the hot cider market. Do you ever see them at Christmas markets? There's like, you can have hot cider with a bit of brandy, and then they put spices into it. Like, I'd love
do they
to
not do that?
Well, I think they naturally occur. You know, if you leave a can of Druids in the back of a hot car. And you open it up and you're like, that's just like a Christmas market.
And naturally occurring.
It takes me back to that Christmas in Austria.
Yeah, just the feel of it on your hands.
You just need that warm, warm side. Have you had any like festival disasters or at like that?
Oh. At Oxygen 1 year,
oh,
we played 2010, maybe 11.
Okay.
We'd been playing loads of big stages, but this was particularly big. It was the second from the main stage. And so I've been used to like jumping off a stage and jumping back on and, you know.
Yeah.
Bing bang, like easy peasy.
You know.
But I jumped off this stage. It wasn't the problem. Nailed it.
What?
But I went to jump back on and it's taller than me.
Yeah.
So instead, my little claw hands just claw. There's a really amazing picture. I'll try get you to go with this. There's just a picture of me hanging off the front of the stage by my fingertips.
Like, make his make it like a cat, like in the don't yeah. give up poster exactly. kind of pose.
Exactly. And then so a security guard came over and like nudged his head under my legs to nudge me the way back up.
He nudged his head under your legs. What a lovely guy.
Now, I give him absolute and full credit. This was a professional move. And it was mortifying.
I'd say, yeah.
I was wearing very tight spandex at the time. And it was just all a bit undignified. I've fallen off stages. That's not as bad. I don't mind that, really.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a laugh.
My boyfriend went to Reading years ago when he was about 11 or something. Yes. And he saw JK out of Jamiroquai drive around for the whole festival on a golf cart.
And not perform.
Oh, yeah, I think he was performing as well.
Adds an extra bit of spice to that story if he wasn't performing.
He was there to golf and it was the wrong weekend. And he was like, this is a disaster.
I feel like an awful Egypt now around in this gear.
Turn around, Greg. Drive me up.
Greg.
I don't know why I think Greg is his caddy.
It's almost definitely his caddy.
It is
caddy.
Definitely
yeah.
Greg,
no, I think that's like when that kid called Michael D. Higgins Miggle D. Higgins by accident.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
everyone
yeah.
was like, that's mad because definitely his name is Miggle D. Like,
yeah, how is it?
Makes way
never
more
not.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How has he been keeping this promise? any other festival disasters? Oh, we played the Jerry Fish stage at Electric Picnic.
Oh, the lovely
years
tent.
Ago. Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Love Jerry and I love that stage.
Yeah.
But anyway, my leopard print disco pants ripped before we went on stage. So I was in a dark Portaloo.
Yeah.
With my boyfriend at the time, trying to fix my jocks. And the lads didn't realise I hadn't come on the stage and started playing. Yeah. That was cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Where did it rip? I'm guessing.
Go on.
I'm guessing the crotch.
Alison's looking me up and down now to see where there might be a few lumps. No, it actually ripped on the side, the zip.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, that's not so bad.
Yeah, that's not so bad. You could definitely walk that off as yeah. a fashion choice.
Wow. Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Look at her, so free.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It is warm. Fair play to
yeah,
her.
Yeah. Know, it is the equivalent of, you know, when you're under a duvet and you stick your leg a bit out of the duvet to get the perfect kind of temperature.
Nothing like it.
Nothing like that in a can of hot ruins now. You're just...
I am loving the hot ruins because, like, we've all been there.
We have all been there.
This is going to be one of those shows that starts out with a laugh but ends on a serious note. We've all been there.
We get a bit of pathos going and be like, you know, I met a druid once. He told me a lot of home truths. Yeah. I'm kind of weirded out by, like, the modern world's constant kind of search for pathos in entertainment. You know, if you're doing something and then they're like, so tell me about this. And I don't owe you that. Or, you know, it's kind of weird.
I get that entirely, yeah.
Yes.
I find it really frustrating, actually. Or if you do lend your... When I say lend your voice, I mean the same way as anybody would to something.
Yeah.
To a particular issue. And another issue comes up and they're like, well, where were you on that one?
Yeah.
I saw someone saying that to... What was it that happened? Anyway, a journalist in Ireland...
Couldn't be any louder. Sorry.
Just a little cool can of Copperberg anyway.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Listen to this. It's like the Coca-Cola.
I was exactly like it.
I always wanted a Coca-Cola after those ads with sweet ice.
Oh my God. You're like, I'm too smart to be taken in by advertising. And then you're like, geez, I'd really murder a can of Coke.
Murder a can of Coke with ice. With ice. And maybe a slice of lime. Ultimate refreshment. Were you ever in a band when you were in primary school?
No, but I was in a band just out of primary school. We were called Unique.
Amazing. Can I Google? I'm going to check if there's been a Unique band.
Oh my God, are you joking? Of course.
I'd say it would have like Michelle Visage in it or something, you know?
Yeah, but there was nothing Unique about us.
Really?
Oh, nothing.
Do you know what? I'm not going to Google while chatting to someone.
Oh my God, Google while chatting.
Okay.
I'll take this away.
Yeah, you tell me about Unique.
We performed at the school talent show I believe Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One of the girls pulled a short straw and straddled a chair. And now we were only about 14.
Right. And only one can straddle a chair out of...
It would have been a bit distasteful for us all to be straddling chairs. Do you know what I mean?
Only one. Now there's loads of sounds now because I had to do a bit of a... Sorry, I'll turn it off. Unique, there is a musical group called Unique.
So I was dying to see that. Of course there is.
They're from New Jersey. They were a short-lived post-disco studio act, best known for their crossover number What I Got Is What You Need, released in 1983. Will I play it?
Please, yeah.
I'll play it now.
What I Got Is What You Need.
So here we go.
Songs trying to convince dudes that they should like you make me uncomfortable, but anyway.
This is not Unique. This is Allianz. Who are not another great the friend show. Of Okay. the crisp glass of Allianz.
Yes.
It sounds almost like La Galaxy.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
It's in the stars. Yeah, okay, no worries. No rush to the lyrics.
I'm going to skip ahead a bit. We don't have time. It's a podcast.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to press pause.
This is like Automatic by...
Who is it? Automatic. Sister Sledge? No.
No, but that's what I thought.
Pointer Sisters?
Pointer Sisters, correct.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Very good.
So you need...
So basically I was in near enough that band you just played. But when you think about it, like, that's like comedy gold. Yeah, I mean, if I walked in, let's say... I'm 31. If I went with my friend who's a mom to see her kid who's like 12 at a talent show and she's straddling a chair in a white shirt doing Hit Me Baby One More Time, I'd be horrified.
I know, but when you're younger, you don't see it as a... How did you break up as a band?
We were just going
this
different
is VH1
directions.
Behind the music.
I don't really remember there being a breakup as such. I mean, we didn't win the talent show. I think that was a huge blow. We didn't pick up any support that night either. So I think we just, maybe it was such a high, our performance that night was such a high.
Yeah.
That we just were like, let's just leave that in the history books. And
you're like the Beatles on top of the rooftop. Just
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly. And then I was in another band. My friend Jamie, who was in Fight Like Apes with, his brother passed away when Jamie was 18 and I was 16, and he was a musician called Jonathan Fox, and we wanted to get together and do a tribute gig for him, and Jamie's just like vast like optimism with me was like, would you want to sing? I'd never sang for him or with him before, and just asked me what I sing, and it was just one of those moments of like, and it was they were doing the show on Whelan's. Whoa. Which obviously was, especially for a young one, it's like iconic place. So I just said yes, you know, one of those things where you're like, I'm just going to say yes and figure it out later.
I
just said yes, and we did a show. Our friend wrote some songs and we did some covers and stuff like that, And then we played with that band for a little while. We broke up and then we started Fight Like Apes. So,
right.
I mean, you know, from Britney Spears to The Frames to Fight Like Apes, it's been a strange
it's
thing.
It's a journey.
It's just like my journey, you know.
Did you do choir when you were a young one, or musicals?
Yeah, I was the lead male in our school musical.
What was it?
The Merry Widow.
The Merry Widow. Now,
no.
Is there any famous songs off that now that I've never heard The Merry Widow before?
Well, I hadn't myself. And also, I was going to be the lead female.
Yeah.
And then this girl joined the school during auditions.
No.
And she got made the female. She's much better than me. That's fair enough. But I was 16.
But the cheek of her to move at that stage.
What was wrong with the last place?
Yeah.
So it was one of those things. I was 16.
Yeah.
It's a tumultuous time for a young woman. And the boys' school near us always came to the girls' musical and just like threw chewing gum at us and stuff. Then they'd be like, you look nice.
Hormones.
Yeah. Oh, dreadful. Dreadful things. and yeah, so I was very excited to be in this big gown singing these very pretty songs about being a damsel in distress and everything.
Yeah.
And the next thing, I'm getting a beard drawn on and my hair slicked back and like tucked under and I'm wearing a three-piece suit.
Oh, no.
It was appallingly embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Now, that's character building, mind you, because, I mean, I've never had this experience since, but I so badly wanted to just not go on the stage.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, no. That's a really lame reason not go on the stage because there's some lads that might slag you.
And so the next time you went on stage then was Whelan's?
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, guess.
You said you're in choir.
School choir, yeah.
What, did you have a favourite hymn?
Well, we did Handel's Messiah quite badly one year. Yeah, you either do Handel's Messiah well or like not well.
Yeah.
So
those are the rules of Handel's Messiah.
Yeah. So Jesus.
I'll tell you my one first.
Go on.
If you want. Do you know the one that goes, I the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hands will save. I the Lord of snow and rain, I have heard my people,
but yeah, you're pain.
Wait, I just want to get to the bit where we're going, whom shall I save? And then it's like, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard. Yeah, it's a tune.
That is a tune.
Is there a key change in that? What makes it so good?
Listeners, come back to us on this. I was about to say, text in and you'd have to be like, Mary, it's a podcast.
Mary, it's a podcast. That is
a tune.
It's a big tune. It's a big tune. There was another one that had a deep within my being. Oh, the word of my Lord. Deep within my being. But I used to go deep within my beans.
Gross. Why is that gross? It is. Oh, Jamie's favourite one is the one that's... He sent you to bring the good news to the Lord. Tell prisoners that they are prisoners no more. Tell blind people that they can see. And set the downtrodden free. And go tell. Which is so embarrassing because like when we used to go away.
Yeah.
And people would be like, sing us an Irish song. They meant like by an Irish band. And we'd be like, and go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. Like, is Ireland still as religious as it used to be? Oh God, no, why?
And then you're like, here I am.
And the other one we like, when really people didn't mean like any Irish music, I think.
They just wanted you to do the chorus or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
We let the sides down anyway.
So you've done Glastonbury and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's Glastonbury like as a festival to play?
Well, we got really great insight into the different sides of it. We played it three times. The first year... I mean, it was an amazing experience. And but I mean, you are dragging your equipment. You're kind of dropped at the gate and no one cares about you. It's so vast.
Yeah.
That you really want to be working with a good booker there on a good stage for it to be worth your while, you know?
Yeah.
I guess depending on the type of music you're playing. If you're playing folk stuff, I guess there's different kind of broader...
I bet you get looked after if you're a folk person. They'll want to like mind you. Yeah. It's like DeBarra's Folk Club. I did a gig in DeBarra's.
Never been there.
Oh my god,
isn't that ridiculous? I've heard the most amazing things about it.
Next tour, you need to book it. I went upstairs and there was a big pot of homemade vegetable soup, ham, cheese, homemade bread,
all homemade in the pot. Cake,
all in that one pot, just and a DeBarra's welcome. Here's all this food in one pot. Do with it what you will, Alice.
It's like a coddle in many ways.
It's a cork coddle. Jesus, I just laughed like a chicken there. Like,
I am honoured.
Good. Not often someone makes me laugh like a chicken. Fair play. No, that's a great spot. Like, Longitude. I did a gig in Longitude once and the backstage had Brie. Like a big wheel of brie. I was like, who's giving me this kindness? Why?
And why? More is the point. And you're like, yeah. I'm not getting paid, am I?
True.
If I'm getting this brie, I mustn't be getting that fee.
Yeah, that's it. If you get brie, no fee.
And it's like one of those gates of hell, one of those pairs of hell where you're like, I'm not allowed to eat that brie or I'm not getting the fee.
Hotel Shit. California. You're just like, you can never leave.
Unbelievable.
Where has been the best for like hospitality in festivals? Where they just go that bit above and beyond?
God, loads of amazing stuff. Fantastical, I have to say. The hospitality is wonderful. And then, to be honest, so what happens when someone asks you about good hospitality is you kind of pick smaller festivals, of course, but kind of have to give credit to the bigger festivals who are able to pull off personable treatment when they have that much, you know, that kind of large area to cover and stuff. So I do the Other Voices stage at Electric Picnic.
Yeah.
And I can't call our own hospitality good, can I? Well, I just mean that the caterers and stuff there are amazing. They're so conscious of the kind of energy you need for the day. So they make really, really
nutritious
food, but not in that kind of way where you're like, don't be giving me beans. But the nice beans.
Don't be giving me beans.
Don't be giving me beans.
I couldn't if I tried. That's a new one for bachelors there.
But can I just say, our great friends of the show.
Great friends of the show. Wait there, listen here.
This is Alison having a few beans out of her glass.
Having a sip of some bachelor's beans there. Good memories. But yeah, you're right. Electric Picnic is really good. Would you Casapalooza? I remember them being incredible.
Oh, incredible! I think Casapalooza, and like I suppose they're a small festival, you know. But they're incredible, and you know you get to hang out in that beautiful castle.
Yeah,
That's really amazing. That's like, well, the festival started because it was Killian's 30th. So it started to be a birthday party with all their friends playing and all their friends going. And it progressed.
That's how it became a festival.
Yeah, and it progressed into being a small but amazing festival. But the obviously the ethos from day one was your mates and everyone having an amazing time. That's never really gone away. So I think that's why Casapalooza, the vibe is so on point.
That's mad.
We should go.
We should go this year, man.
And thanks to Casapalooza for the tickets. They just texted into the live podcast.
Here's another.
That's Alison having a drink at Casapalooza.
Sweet Casapalooza. What I was going to say, I tried to do a festival when I was for my 18th birthday party.
In my house. About this story.
Oh, it is bad. Yeah. Oh, God. I booked my friend who could play the drums as the musical act. And he called in sick.
Oh god.
There was no music. There was just a lot of pallets in my back garden and like so the lads took the couch out into the front. It was a disaster, actually. My poor mother. Yeah, I had a great... It was a great time, though. I kept trying to play.
Oh, you had a good time?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I did.
I can't decide if it's a good or a bad thing that the drummer didn't show up.
I know. He was very apologetic. Look, to be honest with you, if I was that drummer... And if I was, they were like, do you want to play my house?
Speaking of dignity, yeah, with your arse.
Exactly. There's no dignity for him. It was the back garden of my house on a pallet. Do you know, you're going to have, I was friends with goths and I was friends with the people that weren't goths. And they didn't mix very well. And then that night they did because everyone got drunk. But I kept trying to play the Smiths on my own stereo. And my friends physically blocked me from going near the stereo because they were listening to like DJ Sammy and all that. Which is
DJ Sammy.
Yeah, do you remember DJ Sammy?
Oh, do I ever?
I know. Jesus. We're in heaven.
Now, the Nowhere Fast origin story. So, like, the prequel has to include this party.
Oh, that's true. That's
You've
true.
You've kind of ruined it now.
I should do a sequel, a prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, of like 15-year-olds just drinking wicked.
Yeah.
Avoiding giving lads hand jobs. That would be my...
But not because you were scared, just because like, ooh, because I'm busy or whatever.
I know, I've got shit to do.
I've got shit to do, man. I'm 15, man.
I've got the junior cert, man.
A lot going on.
Yeah, exactly. Too much going on.
Yeah. And I have done it before because I was on holidays in France during the summer and there was this guy and...
Oh, Pierre. Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't know him. He's French.
Oh God.
Thank you so much to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. Guys, I'm very excited. My birthday is Thursday. That's the 14th of June. I share it with Donald Trump, which is unfortunate. And also Boy George, which I'm happy with. And Steffi Graf, which I'm really happy with. I really like her. So I'm really, really excited about it. I'm going to be interviewing James Kavanagh, the lad who's very good on the social medias, of Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter. He's a very funny lad and I really can't wait to interview him. And Bradley Brock. Bradley is an amazing human. From Mayo, he was featured on the documentary that I made with RT earlier this year. He's a drag queen known as Neon Love, and he's just a beautiful soul. I get on really well with him. He's a young lad and he's got such great insights into life. I really, really can't wait for you to listen to the show or watch the show. You should come live to my birthday bash with thanks to Copperberg. And it's going to be an absolute ball of a time. It's a tenner in, but you get two free Copperbergs, which I think is very, very, very good value. Like, you get a podcast and two drinks. I mean, what more could you want? Just go to the Alison Spittle Show podcast Facebook page and you'll get all the information there. I think I'll get some birthday presents for myself and maybe give them out to you. We'll do some party games and then we'll have a podcast and I think it'll be a good crack. I feel excited. I'm doing like a birthday for myself that other people can come to. I feel like someone off Geordie Shore. You were from Kildare.
Yes.
Can you tell me what was it like growing up in Kildare?
So I live in a place called Ardclock, and at a certain age, so I went to primary school in Ardclock, so I didn't really care about anything outside of Ardclock when I was in primary school. But when I went to secondary school in Chapelizod,
Dublin, right?
Yeah. Like, we'll call it Chapelizod. I get like itchy and stuff. Like, people say Chicago.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just anyway, that's just an aside note.
Do you
right?
know how it got its name or anything like that? Have you researched
Chapelizod?
Yeah.
Chapelizod, so it's
oh,
I guess Izoid's chapel.
Right.
I don't think it's Izoid.
Isn't it?
It's Chapelizod is what it is in Irish, so I guess
right.
The church of something or someone's church.
I'm not going to Google it right now. Okay.
And I'll tell you about our clock.
Do.
But when I reached my teens, I actually tried to get my parents to split up so that my dad would let me live with him in somewhere near a bus stop or more populated, because I actually couldn't leave the house that I get in the lift. You couldn't, there's nowhere to walk to. But Arklok's a beautiful place, beautiful people, great hurling team, county champions, just so you know.
Humble brag.
Yeah. And I was touring a lot then with the band, and then I moved into the shitty, the city for years and years. And I moved back to Arklok, well, like on a temporary basis last October.
Yeah.
And now I can see the beauty of it. Like, just,
yeah,
it's just, it really is a beautiful part of the country. You kind of, and don't get me wrong, I love living in the city, and I'm looking forward to moving back, but the community vibe is just like nothing else.
Yeah. Anybody who's about Westmead as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. And you kind of need to leave to get that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really like really special. And I was very heartened to see the way Arklok voted and stuff in the recent referendum. I wasn't sure what way. So there's been loads of lovely things. My dad's was a very proud Arklok man. And when he passed away, we were looked after like we were all brothers and sisters. Like, and I don't know what people do without that.
Yeah.
So my heart is well and firmly back in Arklok and very proud to be from there.
Did you get... because I've been to a few funerals recently. I've never been to a funeral of a person that's close to me that's Irish. I've always had like English funerals, and they're always a bit
Totally different.
They're totally different.
Don't get drunk at all.
They have picnic food. It's a mad.
You actually looked like you're about to say something. They have picnic food.
Well, I love picnic food, like scotch eggs and cheese twirls.
Yeah, but before your dinner.
I know. And when I've been to Irish funerals, I've always been on the periphery. So I've always been doing the washing up or something like that. That's my favourite thing to do at a funeral. Because then you don't have to talk to anyone. You look like you're doing good and you're just thinking.
But you are
doing
good. And it's hard.
Yeah. But did you get like lasagnas or anything like that? Or
we didn't buy food or drink
for
about 6 weeks. I really mean that.
Wow.
Shout out to the guy who made about 80 egg mayonnaise sandwiches. That wasn't ideal because they don't last.
They don't travel well.
I mean, it's just amazing to see the way Irish people compartmentalise into different roles. So you're the one that's cleaning. This dude's the one that's making sandwiches.
Egg mayonnaise.
Some people are like, the girls, the one thing they'd want is for us to have a few drinks. You know,
nice.
That's the best thing we could do for them now. And I mean, it's not something I necessarily want to do now for the day, but I'll do it for them.
By God, I'll
a lot of brave soldiers there.
Putting themselves up for that job.
Yeah.
I just have to drink in the same room as some morning people.
Yeah. Well, it's really, I think I was about to say the funnest thing. Obviously, I don't mean fun. But the funniest thing about Irish funerals is that thing where it's like, would someone get them a drink, a glass of white wine? No one needs a glass of white wine really ever if you're not great with your emotions, let alone like get them a tequila.
Their tequila.
At least that's a bit of an upper. Suggesting that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, wine is always like Joanne McNally has this great bit about drinking wine, and now it's like a truth serum or something like that.
Oh. And
it's so true. Like whenever my family get together and the bottles of Jacob's Creek.
Gorgeous.
Or maybe if it's a special occasion, the Graham Norton Sauvignon Blanc. It's about €12.
Jesus.
It's very good.
Is it? But the thing with the community thing though is like, you know, the way some days then you don't want to speak to anybody. So you'd go to go out your door and someone will have left a bag of buns hanging on your back door. Now again, as one lad left a bit of fresh salmon in our garage without telling anybody. And I'll tell you what, that went off quickly enough.
It's like a horse's head. Maybe he was trying to warn you of something. Gonna smoke this salmon.
That was there.
Oh, that's so nice. A fresh salmon. Did he catch it, or was it like store bought?
I don't know who left it here.
Huh?
I don't know who left it.
Oh my gosh.
It could have been a threat, actually. Now you mentioned this.
Who really stung up the garage. Jesus. Do you know what this morning family need right now?
Yeah. A bone to pick with them.
Yeah, several fish bones. Oh.
Why can't we make those noises? Oh.
Ooh.
Nailed it. Did you find out about Shea Paleozoid?
Right. I was getting too into your good chats there.
Sweet.
Also, what was I going to say? So you gave me a lift from Selbridge.
Oh, yeah, we must discuss.
Yeah, that was... Wait, I just typed in Selbridge. Now that goes to Chapel Lizard.
Shea Paleozoid.
Jesus. I've definitely spelled this wrong. I've got three L's. There's no need for that. It's a village preserved meaning. I'll just write meaning. I don't need to know where it is. I know where it is. Chapel is it. Shea Paleozoid means, of course, Isoid, the name.
You know, like, Isolde.
Isolde's chapel.
Jesus.
Yeah. Is Isolde a lady or a man?
I
feel like it's a lady. Right there.
That's one of those things where it's like, isn't Chapel is it a mad name? Like, you'll never ever find out where it comes from or anything like that. You're like, here it is now there.
It's quite simple, actually, yeah. And it makes sense when you split the, yeah. Ah. what's your village name again?
Ard Clock.
So is that hill?
Or? Yeah, high clock, I guess. I think clock is stone, isn't it?
Clock is stone. What's so Ard?
High.
Oh, Ard is high.
Yeah.
I am shite with Irish. Okay.
I used to be great, but now yeah.
High rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not overly sure about that, but.
But you drive, and thank you very much for the lift.
Yes.
What was it like canvassing?
Well, I just
for the yes side. By the way, so you canvassed.
And you look, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. You canvassed against the you canvassed against the Eighth Amendment. Okay.
Yeah, and it was it was incredible, and. I suppose I talked about it a lot on Twitter, so people ended up saying like thanks and stuff for canvassing, but I was like a tiny cog in the machine of Kildare Together for Yes, and more specifically Selbridge Together for Yes. I mean, they've been working on that for a year, and then canvassing since February through that snow and everything they were canvassing, and it was the most. I really miss it. I'm delighted with how everything turned out, needless to say, but I really miss that group, walking around for 2 hours an evening. And with these amazing women who you probably wouldn't know otherwise. We're all from such different walks of life, we probably wouldn't have met otherwise. But then Rachel O'Neill, wonderful woman, because you had tweeted saying that if anybody needed a dig out, and I think Rachel got back to you, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
And then out you came, and it's really, it's a fun thing, because some of the nights are just a bit slower than others, or you get a bit of abuse and you need a bit of a lift. And Kyron said, Alison Spittle's coming out. And someone said, do you know her, Mary? And she doesn't know everybody famous. And I was like, well, we have spoken. but it was great. And it is a lovely lift in those situations. A lot of people said like, oh, there's no point in me only going out one night, two nights, six nights. But there is. It's really great. And then she gave you a lift home. Wasn't that nice?
You were lovely. And I loved the high-vis jackets they had. There was a lot of thought put into that. It was like the Maser Love Heart on blue.
Yeah, and I think that was good, because let's say the repeal jumpers who are so powerful, and I mean, they're like parts of history for everyone now, and they were so important to like raising awareness and letting us all see each other. Who's on my team? Is it just me? No, there's loads of us.
Yeah.
And I think by the time we were getting to doorsteps, there had to be something a little bit more approachable, I guess. So the high-vis all around the country were blue and white, and then the green and stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah, they're good.
The pink, I have two hot pink high vises at home that I bought for cancer. Okay. In Centra.
I'll hold my
But they're destroyed now for me.
They're destroyed because
because the Love Both Side had pink.
Jesus.
Because women love pink.
You know what? Women love pink and men love women. So therefore,
they're loving both.
Yeah. Is that what that meant?
Let's say it.
Oh, God loved them, sure.
You also do TV presenting too. I should ask you about that.
Yeah.
Before, yeah. You did other voices.
Yeah.
Down in Dingle. Dingle is amazing.
Dingle is amazing. Other voices amazing. I still remember, I was working in Sophie's restaurant, and Eva Woodlock and Philip King came in, and asked me what fight. Like, I used to play the other voices stage at Latitude Festival, and Latitude Festival in the UK is one of my favourite festivals on the planet. And we were delighted to play other voices there. And after that, then they asked me would I be interested in presenting, which is like, it's a total dream job.
Yeah.
It's absolute dream. The people I work with are the most sincere music fans that I've ever come across. They're so much fun to be around. They're so good at their jobs. I get to see all this incredible new music and be a part of it in a way. And also they're expanding. So, you know, we did other voices in Austin, Texas, in Berlin.
So you went to Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
Didn't you? You went to Austin, Texas for another festival.
South by Southwest, yeah.
Yeah, what was that like as well? Sorry.
Yeah, no. You've just checked the clock and you're like, hang on, I have 16 questions.
No, you're cool, you're cool. I was just poking my eye. I was like, ooh. There's like...
South by Southwest is an incredible experience. I was a couple of times at Fight Like Apes and then went this time at La Galaxy. It's crazy. It really is crazy. And what anybody who knows their stuff says is like, don't go until you're ready. Don't go when you've one song written, and
yeah,
you know, take that opportunity when you're ready to be put on the road, or when you're ready to release something. Because if you know, everybody. Not everybody. A lot of people you want to work with are all there, and you need to know, you need to have a follow up with them. And there are a lot of people there kind of just for the trip.
Yeah.
Which.
That must be disheartening.
Yeah, it is. And when, yeah, it is. But when you're doing it right, and the Music from Ireland and FMC that send bands over from here, they don't choose the bands, but they facilitate the grants and they put on the Irish showcases over there. They're really good at advising bands, like saying, look, the slot's there for you to go if you want, but hold off a year and go. Because it is like, it's a zoo, like it's crazy, and you need to know what you're doing, you need to know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you've got this before, when people are like, Nick, make sure you're networking. And you're like, I get that as a concept, but when I'm actually there, I'm like, hi, I'm Mary and I'm in a band. What do you mean? So you need to have gotten contacts to specific people that you should go and meet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you find that tough in Ireland, you're going to find it impossible over there, you know?
I find it so weird to interact with Americans as well, because they I was doing a thing in Dingle. I was doing an award show and I did a good job. And this American guy came up to me and was like, hi, I'm doing this award show in Miami. You should... do it. And I was like, fuck off.
I thought there was going to be a more nuanced example of how you find it difficult to communicate with Americans.
I thought he was messing, like, and it was just like, and I was like, no, and I was like, sure, I don't know what I'm doing, all this. And this other lady was beside me, was like, no, you do, Alison, you definitely do. I was like, sure, you know, I just pull it out of me. I was being ridiculous, like ridiculous. And I went up to my hotel room and you're just like, oh my God, he was being serious. What have I done?
And there's you picturing yourself by the pool in Miami.
Miami, yeah.
With your pina colada. Oh my God.
I was very sad, yeah.
Well, and that's a huge difference between us and Americans in, like, culturally.
Yeah.
That it's the same thing with, like, that's a lovely top, where'd you get it? Shut up. I got it in Benny's.
Weird.
And if you say that you're an American, it's like, thank you very much, because they just take the compliment.
Yeah.
And they're also pretty good at selling themselves, and we are...
We are not.
...appalling.
And we should...
I think we're getting better.
I hope I'm getting better. Like,
you must be.
Yeah.
Sure, here you stand.
Here I stand. I try to just... I don't know, before I used to see it as, like, almost, it's like, when I was a teenager, you'd have lads that go like, my friend wants to shift you. And you'd be like, okay, so, and then they'd be like, oh no, I was joking. And then you're like, oh my God,
oh,
I want to die.
My God, I want to die.
And it never leaves, like that type of thing
that
at all.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I genuinely think it really stems from that. I really do.
That is so awful. But that's really interesting.
There's nothing worse than being seen to want something that you cannot get. You know, in Ireland, I think that is.
That's so interesting. Yeah. And we go to serious lengths to cover it up, like, even.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if someone says on Twitter, or if we get asked, like, what's it like making money in the business? And you're kind of thinking to yourself, I don't want people to know it's difficult.
That's very true.
And then I realised recently that I'm doing the whole business a disservice by not speaking honestly about it. Otherwise, how does it improve?
And then people talk about you and go, oh, you're part of the media elite. And it's like,
gas.
I can't pay my rent. You know?
Gas.
Yeah.
Elite. I don't mind that for a minute. I don't think anyone's ever said that to me.
In the elite. I don't know.
The elite is something.
But I don't think there is like a big elite in Ireland. I think there's like just people that are constantly trying to like make a living.
Yeah. You know? And it seems like you get encouraged your whole career to become successful and comfortable, and oftentimes as soon as you do, you're the elite.
Yeah.
And you've lost touch. And I was like, but what was your ideal scenario of what I would do then? That I would stay under this ceiling that you've kind of set for me. I find that incredibly...
That's so true.
Makes you so bitter. No, sorry, I'm not bitter, but it would embitter you, that type of attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Sienna, you've broken my heart now with that shifting thing.
Oh, no. Ah, look, don't worry about it.
Well, I am worried now.
It's
very interesting.
It is, yeah.
Because that's exactly what you're doing when that person asked you about the Miami thing. Shut up, I know that's not a real thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How, like, even, it's so weird. And I hunted down his email then, and I emailed him, and I got
not the guy that was asked to shift
me, yes. But I got no replies off both. I did it that night. Maybe I mixed them up. Maybe I'm like,
maybe emailed the wrong lad.
Dear Kevin Conway from Moat, you offered me a Miami.
Do you remember you offered me a presenting job in Miami?
In Miami, yeah.
Oh my God. Jesus. Sorry, he never wrote back, the Miami guy.
No.
I hate him.
But like, in fairness, no, I was very weird.
Totally. You know? And what he wanted was someone to go, yeah, of course I will. Can we exchange details and I'll contact you tomorrow morning?
It's so hard in comedy. It's so, like, because you don't want to be... I don't know if it's like this music, but like, so people talk about each other all the time, and there's a definite kind of like, that person's not cool. That person's not cool. Or, you know, and it's just, and you're constantly trying to do your job. It's uncool to say you care about being cool. I get that, but I do care sometimes. Mm. Do you know, it's not like, it's weird. It is weird.
And it's also on kind of the same thing. It's kind of, you don't want to be seen, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
But you don't want to put yourself out there too much to be seen like to be a climber. Even though, what the feck are we all trying to do except climb?
I know.
Everyone else is doing it. And while you're there busy, that you'll be perceived in the wrong way, there's 20 other people not afraid of that and they're doing it.
And they're doing it, yeah. Mm. And it doesn't make you any happier. And I suppose doing comedy, I see myself as a clown now, and I feel better about that. Do you know, where I'm just like, I'm not too cool to make people laugh. I just want to make people laugh, and that's what I'd like to do.
I think that's when the pathos comes back into it as well.
Yeah.
Because if your job, as you see it, is to make people laugh, same way the Galaxy's job is to make people happy.
Yeah.
If you're seen to not be politically active in that, but it's like, but that's not my role here.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of music is politically inclined, a lot of comedy is politically inclined, but that's not your role there.
No.
So when people are trying to kind of inject that into it, yeah, God.
Do you think people try and read into like the art that you make like a lot more deeper than what's intended, and do you...
Oh, gas, yeah.
Yeah? Like, what's the weirdest reading of any bit of work that you've done?
Oh, we've had some amazing stuff. And no one ever says... Well, the things that I'm referring to, no one ever says, like, oh, I think that's what she was saying was that. They're like, oh, you see, that's about her ex-boyfriend who ended up killing her dog and ended up... And I'm like, why did you not even offer that as an opinion as opposed to a fact?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That must be so weird.
It is weird, but it's also amazing because I do it with stuff. I do it with music. But depending on what is going on with me, I listen to a song and be like, how did I come across this song? It's so perfect for what I'm going through. It's almost certainly not what I think it is. Yeah. I never want to know what it's about either.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like that just for some reason. I'd say I'm getting words wrong and everything.
Right. That you're just like renaming
stuff. Rewriting the entire thing just to suit me. But I suppose I don't mind ever if somebody misinterprets the song.
Yeah.
Because speaking of what your job is, that's the whole point, is to give
them their own interpretations.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with me, and I don't even particularly like talking too much about what songs mean, what my own songs mean to me.
Yeah.
Because I like you said earlier on, I don't feel I owe anybody that. I've done the bit that I wanted to do by writing, recording and performing. Yeah. I don't feel, even though that's not saying I would never do it, but I don't feel obliged then to go ahead and dissect it for you either.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so many peaks and troughs, wouldn't you agree?
I feel this is a good podcast.
10 out of 10 from us here in the Alison's Little Show anyway in studio.
I'm going to put on the fan again.
Lads, am I sweating? Lads, can I just say for your ears, we should turn off the only source of coolness in the room, temperature wise.
Hey, I was going to say I wasn't turned off. But
and I think we leave it at...
I've been... It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was a quick hour.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, the fan is going back on.
Okay, you guys. What? Why did I say okay, you guys?
You know what? I'll let you outro this.
So, thanks for everything, guys. Here comes the fan.
Thank you very much to Sarah Garvey for producing the show, William Conway for the artwork, No Monster Club for the amazing theme tune. That's thanks to Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, Alan Bennett from the Headstuff Network, and Paddy as well, who always helps me make this podcast. Today I'm doing it from the Headstuff podcast studio, and they're very accommodating and very good. The Headstuff Podcast Network, if you're thinking of making a podcast, why don't you get in contact with the Headstuff Podcast Network? You can rent their studio and see how you get on. You could even get someone to edit your podcast, and all you have to do is talk. It's quite cool. Just a reminder, come along to my birthday on the 14th of June. James Kavanagh and Bradley Brock and Free Copperberg. What more could you want? I have no gigs to promote, really. And I'm proud of this one. I really like this episode because I really like all my episodes. I am very happy to be making a podcast. I was thinking about that the other day. I love podcasts. I should bring back the hashtag apricot party. That was a hashtag I told people to tweet me with if they listened to the podcast till the end. I should wait there. I'm very warm. I'm gonna stop talking now and put back on the fan because the Headstuff Podcast Network studio is lovely, but it's very warm. I tell you what, as a thank you for listening to the podcast till the end, I'll talk into the fan and I'll say goodbye that way. So here's the fan and I'll just point it now. Oh. Thank you. Oh shit, my hair. I didn't have my hair tied back while putting my head really near the van, and that was a bad idea. Anyway, I'll let you go. Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.